Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And you have joined us on Cowboy Church on RFD TV. Thank you for joining us today.
Today we're going to be talking about the second parable that deals with money.
Okay.
And understand, people, we're not here to deal with money. We're here to deal with the principles that God uses money to explain. And so today we're going to be talking about the talents, the five talents. Mm-hmm. How much do you think a talent would be worth?
Oh, in our economy?
Yeah.
Well, you told me, but I...
Yeah, before I told you, what do you think it was?
I would say, you know, very little back there in those days, you know.
Yeah.
But today, you know, $100.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually, well, I'll tell you in a little while.
Oh yeah, don't spill the beans,
don't spill the beans, as we say.
Hey, we want you to sit back, relax, grab that glass of iced tea. You're going to be here just for about 30 minutes, and you're going to be so blessed by what Mr. Russ Weaver has to tell us today.
And welcome. By what Susie sings.
Well, thank you very much.
I love your singing, by the way.
Thank you very much. Well, you helped me to be here where I am. Let's go to Cowboy Church.
The preacher on the station said the average person spends 6 months of his life just sitting at a red light. And have you heard another third is wasted while we sleep? And another 7 years just staring at the TV. We spend 80,000 hours punching that old clock. Well, you can add it up and still not know just how much time you've got. Some live to be 100, some of us die young. He said, be thankful you've been given one more day. Open up. It's not the number of the breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. I feel like shouting hallelujah, 'cause I've never been so high, knowing how much I've been blessed with every little sunset. And I think about that morning when our baby boy was born, the tears that filled my eyes when I held him in my arms. And when I almost lost my daddy back in 95, the doctor walked in with a smile and said he's gonna be alright. Some live to be 100, some of us die young. He said, be thankful you've been given one more day. Your last one, it's not the number of the breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. I had to call and say I love you. Well, that preacher man was right. I just had a revelation thinking about my life. And what do you know? Sitting at a red light. Some live to be 100, some of us die young. Just be thankful you've been given one more day. Open up your heart and live it as if it's your last one. It's not the number of the breaths you take, it's the moment. One more day. Open up your heart and live it. He said the average person spends 6 months of his life just sitting at a red light.
We're only passing through to a better place, amen? The only thing that lasts forever is love. A mansion on the hill is a lovely sight to see. But like any other house, it's only temporary. Home is anywhere you choose to put your heart. If there's no love inside, it'll soon fall apart. Ashes to ashes, dust into dust. Buildings will crumble and bridges will rust. Mountains will disappear, rivers will dry up. And so it goes with everything but love. Now you can drive around in a long limousine, but if you don't know where you're going, it won't mean a thing. People walk to mine just to hold an empty hand. Knows just what it means to be a wealthy man. Ashes to ashes, dust into dust. Palaces will crumble and bridges will rumble. Mountains will disappear, rivers will dry up. And so it goes with everything but love. Worldly treasures, well, they all away. There's just one thing that's put here to stay. Ashes to ashes and dust into dust. Kingdoms will crumble and bridges will rumble. Mountains will disappear. So it goes with everything but love. And so it goes with everything but love. So it goes with everything but
and we can be a blessing to people, and we can contribute into people's lives and help them raise up a standard. So we have taken people that have been destitute on the street. We've taken people that have difficult times, and that when they come in and commit their life to Christ, then we are then able to take them and help them get through situations and to be able to put their life in order. Now, I know if you're listening to this, and you think, well, there's an easy mark. If you come into our church and ask for money, say, well, I heard you guys were really generous with your money. And what you're going to find out is we save our money for the people that comes to this church. Because we know if they're coming to this church, we have a chance to make a difference in their life. And we have plenty of people in our church who are going through difficult times, and we take care of them. We have plenty of people in our church who are going through difficult times, and we take care of them. And we take care of them right. We take care of them well. And we teach them to be contributors. And we have a church full of people. And a bunch of them have come through our programs and through our services, and they have gotten jobs and they've become productive people in our communities and in our church, and they have become contributors. And that is why the church exists, is to take those people from destitute and from all the difficult things. And what Jesus was doing was identifying a woman who definitely was going through an issue, going through a problem, going through a difficulty, and who had a right heart for the things of God. And we can work with that, Jesus said. That woman should be an example. She's given everything she's got. If she'll do that, I'll guarantee she will be able to do other things well also. The next thing is Matthew 25, verses 14 through I think it goes down to verse 30. We won't read all of it, but I'll read verse 14 through 16. It says this, "Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money in them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver." The King James says he gave five talents to one, and to another he gave two bags of silver, or two talents, and to another one bag of silver, or one talent, dividing in a proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. Well, when he got back, and we're down at verse 20, he says, "Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward. "Master, you gave me two bags to invest. I've earned two more." The master said, "Well done." Then you get to verse 24, and the servant with one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops and didn't plant them, gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." What the problem was, the guy was not willing to give in order for his master's help, house to be to benefit. Now, here's, I got some insight into this talent. A talent, in our day of thinking, was the amount of money that a person would earn and be able to invest in a lifetime. And they say it's around $500,000 per talent. So he gave this one man $2.5 million in equivalent of today's value. $2.5 million worth of investments. He gave the second one the two bags, which had been the equivalent of $1 million, and the other one would have been one talent, which would have been $500,000. What they did, they took that money and they respected it as being the owner's money, and they invested it so that when the owner came back, the owner would keep them on the job because they were working as an investment firm for the owner. And the owner was testing them to see if they would work at it and see if they would give it all they had. And two of them did and one of them didn't. So the investments God teaches us through money have to do with the investments that we spend in other ways. Now, I want to give you some examples of that. Psalms 57, verse 8, he says that the tears that you invest into praying intercessory prayers for your people are gathered together in heaven, and God has stored them up for you. And they are an investment in not only in heaven, but they are an investment in the people that are in your life. And when we really love people, when we really care for people, we begin to invest into their life. We begin to pray for them. We begin to pray that God will lead them in the right direction. We pray for our kids that they will give their heart to Jesus. We pray for our kids and our grandkids so that they will have a tender heart before God. We pray that God would cover them. We pray that God would put a hedge around them. We pray that God would guide their steps and keep them safe, keep them from temptation and keep them strong so that the temptations that they go through, they can overcome. And we pray for them and we cry and weep and we go through their struggle with them. And those tears, because of our prayers, are invested in heaven. Their value, they're more value than money. And the reason they're more valuable is because they represent the people, and people are more the most valuable thing to God. When I first got my home missions appointment to go to the Rodeo Cowboys, I had to go into the home missions director's office with the Assemblies of God. His name is T.E. Gannon. What a wonderful man. And I got my appointment. He called me into his office and he goes, "We got to talk." I said, "Okay." And he goes, "So I know you're enthusiastic about this ministry. What are you going to do about your family?" And I said, which is the wrong thing. That wasn't what he was looking for, was it? He said, "You better come to the ball game, young man." I said, "Because here's the thing." He said, "If you win the whole world for Jesus and you lose your family, you're always going to be a partial loser. But if you win your family and you don't win anybody else to the Lord, you're at least a partial winner." He said, "Your family's got to be your priority. They've got to be an important investment of your time so that your family all ends up in heaven." He said, "I want you to be a successful missionary. But I want you to be more successful by making sure that your kids are exposed to the gospel and that you lead an example before them, that they realize that living for God is the only thing that is worth doing. Our investment in heaven has to be with our family." 1 Timothy 4, 7 talks about training of the body. You say, you know, it's a good thing to have a healthy body. It is. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that we need to make sure that we take care of the body. We don't destroy it by neglect. But it's not your body that's going to get to heaven. It's amazing to me that people will spend millions of dollars trying to stay healthy, and they'll never crack a Bible to find out what God has to say about eternity. And they'll never enter a church door to find out how to live for God and prepare their hearts and prepare their minds and prepare their spirits to be in the presence of God. It's a bad priority to prioritize your family. Now, it's a good thing to take care of your body because it is a temple. And the reason it's a temple is your spirit lives in this body. But when your spirit leaves this body, all you have is a flesh and blood, and it's gone. You are not there any longer. You are somewhere else. And you want to make sure that while you're taking care of this body as a temple, that the thing living in this temple, which is your spirit, is connected with God so that when we die, we end up going to heaven and living for eternity. So the last investment is eternal value. Eternal value is, first of all, this. In Mark 8:34, it talks about knowing Jesus. The eternal value comes from knowing Jesus. The second is our family and getting to heaven. And the last thing is in Romans 12, one of my favorite verses. You've heard me preach this forever. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, do you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." See, God forgives us our sins, but our walk cleaned up and holy before God is our responsibility. If it starts in our thoughts, it starts in our habits, it starts in our conditioning, and it continues through our faithfulness to God. As faithful to God as what you're faithful to your wife or your husband. And if you're not faithful to them, it's time to change that, and God will help you with that. Faithfulness is an important factor, but that's the investment into eternity. And I present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your service to God is to bring about a holy walk so that you begin to influence people for the kingdom of God. You begin to make contributors instead of consumers out of the people that you live with. You begin to make contributors instead of consumers out of your kids, out of your coworkers, and out of the rest of your family, and out of the people that you influence in your life. And when you begin to do that, you're investing in eternity. And the last investment in eternity is when you begin to lead people to Christ through the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, and you make yourself available to people so that they can commit their life to God. And the discipleship process that goes with that, of helping them learn to stay alive and be vital and to be contributors into the kingdom of God, will make a difference for eternity. And that's your investments. So your investments, when we look like this, your investments is a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I want to be holy. The Great Commission is preach the word and make disciples. I want the people that God has put me over and in charge of, I want every one of them to be disciples. I want them to be strong in the Lord. I want them to be connected with God so that God can direct their life. And when that happens, I have become a contributor to this life and to the kingdom of God. So your 2 cents matters. Your 2 cents matters. But it matters how you invest it and where you invest it. And the only reason we talk about money is because we understand an investment when it comes to money, but we don't understand the investment in the other things like eternity and the investment in our time and the investment into people and the investment into the tears that we cry and pray over the people who need God. And the investment that we make in missions and the investments that we make in our family, we become a living sacrifice of giving, sacrificial giving of ourselves. And the truth of the matter is, there's nothing that's really going to make a satisfaction in your life like contributing to the eternal value of another person. I challenge you. I know God gives you this challenge about money, but I'm going to give you this challenge about your connection with God. God will direct you to where your life has meaning. And when you're a contributor, it gives your life worth. God bless you for it. Thank you. So I'm glad you stayed with us all the way through this. And the last part of that, if we can bump that a little bit, the eternal value is us becoming a living sacrifice. Mm. And it says wholly acceptable unto God.
Yeah.
Which is our service to God.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Holiness actually comes from our decision to live for God. Mm-hmm. You know that? Mm.
Yes. Please tell us what's going on in your life. Our letter, email, ever how you want to do it. We would love to hear from you. We've kept you too long today. We appreciate you watching, and we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.